All right. Well, welcome, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the GNFO Drafting Team call on Wednesday, the 12th of June, 2019. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Zoom room. If you're only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? And hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording purposes. And please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid background noise. With this, I will turn it over to Heather Forrest. You can begin.
Thanks, Julie Vindlin, very much. And I think I finally figured out why we switched from Adobe Connect, because it sounds so much more exciting to say Zoom Room. It makes it sound like we have some sort of, you know, something really whizzy going on here. Hi there, everyone. Fantastic to have you on the call. Thank you very, very much. You'll see we have our agenda in the Zoom room in front of us here. The focus of our attention today is to wind up as best we can the work that we've done on special IFRs. And I would suggest that we have a quick look at the agenda here. We've gotten rid of an extra AOB. Anyone have any concerns about the agenda? Anything they want to add, take away? No, I can't imagine. We don't have terribly controversial agenda items today. All right. So just by way of reminder, before we leave the review, the agenda, what you see in front of you, it reflects the new work plan that we have for the group. Based on the discussions we had in our last call, Ariel and Julie Hedlund very kindly made a pass at a revised agenda, which I tinkered with a little bit to make it even more conservative. The way that work plan that was then circulated around to the group looks is that we wind up our work in something, you know, early September-ish, but because of the document deadline for council, I think the package of guidelines don't actually go to council until October. My action item, in addition to working with staff to revise that work plan and send it around to all of you, was to communicate that plan to the council leadership. And I note that just maybe 5 minutes before this call, I had an email as well from the second vice chair of the council. So both Rafiq and Pam have confirmed receipt. Say thank you for our work, and they are, let's see, there's a note from Keith here as well. We greatly appreciate your involvement in this support and effort, as well as the contributions of all team members. So that it looks good. What I suggested was that given where we are in the process, it didn't really seem the best use of council's time to be on their agenda for Marrakesh, and I gather from the replies that that I've received that they agree with that too. So it may well be, I'm not sure if we have Tatiana, but we do have Maxime on the call. It may well be that you are asked questions in the course of council meetings on the ground in Marrakesh. If there's anything that I can do to help you, if there's anything that you need from staff, by all means let us know. But it seems that our revised work plan is acceptable to the council, and they're happy for us to keep going. I think we're making excellent progress. Of course, a large part of the reason for revising the timeline was the involvement with the CCNSO, which in fact is on our agenda today. What I've suggested to staff is that by and large, we spend the bulk of a call on one item as opposed to trying to do multiple things in the same call. I think that's going to be advantageous to us as we move into more controversial areas. So with that, my aim here today is that we'll be able to wrap up section 18.12, which in fact we have already spent two calls on, but it is a fairly weighty matter, and it also involves this business of coordinating with the CCNSO. So that's all by way of comment around reviewing the agenda and a bit of an explanation as to why the agenda looks the way that it does today. It looks a bit light, but I suspect it's not going to be. Any questions, concerns, comments about the revised work plan? No. All right. Excellent. Thanks very much to Julie Hedlund and Ariel Liang for helping us to put that together. With that, any updates to SOIs before we move into substance? Seeing none, Okay, then let's dive right in. So you remember we've got two prongs of this 18.12 stuff. The first prong is the internal stuff, which is our being GNSO, our own guidelines for using the GIP, the GNSO input process, in the context of a special IFR, and the guidelines that we have on the agenda here, and I think we can go to those guidelines. The guidelines have now been through, I believe I did the math just before the call. I believe we've had about a month of time to comment on these. We might even have had 6 weeks. Ariel or Julie, could I have you pull up the guidelines for us, please? Bearing in mind that my Zoom room might have crashed.
It may have crashed for you. Let me ask if others have the guidelines. I have switched that page.
Bummer. I saw it switch and then it switched back. Okay. There, it's back. It's back. All right. I apologize, folks. I'm in Southwest Virginia today, and the internet has found Southwest Virginia, but yes, let's just say it travels by mule. Okay. Here we are. So hopefully we'll continue with the Zoom room. Close to Steve. Not far. Smith Mountain Lake. Let's see how I can keep this going. You have the, I wish, Steve. We have the document in front of us. So you'll see that there are some fairly high level sort of going to proofreading type comments, non-substantive comments that were put in there by, I believe, Wolf Oreck and Maxime. I made some substantial comments before we did the sort of last round of this all going out. And I think what we ought to do now is just run through here and have a look. You'll see on the outline on the left-hand column there, we've got 10 sections. Just have a look and see if there's anything else outstanding. Steve Del Bianco had made some very prudent points in the last call that I believe went to 4.3 and 4.4. So let's have a look, see where we are, and then we'll go from there. So Wolf Oreck has made a quick typographical correction there, here in the introductory section, that just sets out this business of, you know, we can use the GIP, and essentially here, you know, these guidelines, this is how we go about doing that. So I think we can probably scroll through the introduction, and we'll hope the Zoom room doesn't drop for me. So I suspect it's slow for me. I suspect you guys have moved ahead. Bear with me while I fight with Zoom.
Julie, I've scrolled down to 3.
Yeah, you know what, Julie, do me a favor, would you? It's going to be a bit of a pain. Can I trouble you to in the and sure enough now, everyone, I'm so sorry. Sure enough, my Zoom room has just dropped and restarted. Julie, could you send me very quickly the document, the link to the document in our staff Adobe chat, please, so I can pull up the Google Doc and I can maybe work off of that, because it's actually Zoom is trying to reconnect even as I speak.
Yes, Heather, and let me do that right now. I have.
Thank you.
Oh, Ariel. Thank you. See, Ariel also sent it to you. So, it's in Skype for you.
Brilliant. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you're in the Google Doc, it's just as good as being in the Zoom room.
Yeah, I think so. And then what everyone needs to do, please don't hesitate. I love the way Google has animals assigned to all of us. I always wonder. I just saw anonymous shark moving through the document. The Zoom room is back up for me too. Excellent. Okay. So I see, as I look at it, the Zoom room appears to be on 4.3. Is that where everybody else is? I'm so sorry.
That's what I'm showing right now, Heather, as well.
Yep.
Awesome, Julie. Thank you. Good stuff. Okay. Steve, here is where, you made some comments, in terms of initiation of the GIP, and Julie noted in the chat a bit earlier that those comments were accepted. Steve, are you happy with the way this looks? Have we addressed the concerns that you raised? Because I think they were quite valid concerns.
Yeah, that's really helpful because you clarified what it means to consider. Thank you.
Yeah, good. Okay. All right. Anyone have any questions, concerns, comments about the changes that have been made in here? Because they were, as Steve has noted, just a clarification as to what consideration actually means or what consider means. Anyone have any concerns, questions here? No, seeing none. Excellent. All right, then let's scroll down then. We have the initiation of a GIP. We found that fairly non-controversial in our last call in 4.4, that's any council member. They do so then by referring to the process in 4.3, that minimum requirements. That moves then to 4.5, which is the outcome and what happens there. And here, in fact, it's where we see the comments or the edits that were made in relation to consider and the reference to the bylaws. And I frankly think that's a really good idea that we need to keep in mind going forward when we do these guidelines, is anywhere that we can recreate or refer explicitly back to the language from the bylaws, because that is indeed the governing document. So I think staff was really, really sensible in the way that they went about this. Any comments, questions, concerns in the changes that are here? I can't imagine we do, but just make a check.
Heather, no. David, can I make a question?
Of course, David, go right ahead. Thanks.
Thanks. It's a minor point, very minor, but it strikes me that I'm going to ask a question and answer it myself, probably say no. But the question is this, you know, we have language in here and it relates to what you just said about referring back to the bylaws. We have requirements in here. It's very hard to think of a circumstance where this could happen, but if the bylaws were ever amended, you know, if the community decided this is much too rigorous, we need to have more flexibility and amended the bylaws. Between the time the bylaws were amended and this guideline was amended, if an IFR came along, should we put language in there that gives the council flexibility to conform to then current bylaws? I think it's so remote that we probably don't have to. But it's the one thing that struck me as I read it. And then I was prompted to think about it again when you just talked about making reference to the bylaws. Thanks.
Yeah, David, I think it's a very sensible point. And we need to figure out where we want to put it meaningfully. And Julie has her hand up. Julie, over to you.
Oh, thank you very much. And I think that, you know, first of all, if we are indeed setting this document up as guidelines as opposed to changes to the GNSO operating procedures, which I think is our underlying assumption, then we can very quickly change these guidelines if there are any changes to the bylaws. In fact, changes to the bylaws will take much longer than it would take to make a few changes to this, corresponding changes to this document. But we also could put in, a statement that that just says something, you know, subject to the current, you know, version of the bylaws or something along those lines. So recognizing that, you know, that if those change, then this will change.
Thanks, Julie. Thanks, David. And David, I note your comment in the chat. It takes care of the issue. I think the only thing, I wonder from a staff side, if this is something that you all might want to do, is have a running tally of anything that needs to be changed. I mean, I'm sure that the GNSO operating procedures would have to be picked through in the event of a bylaws change. But it just seems like, you know, at the time, if it does happen, although there will be plenty of time to do it, there may well be a lot to change. So I think I think your point, Julie, is helpful. But it's more for housekeeping purposes. So Maxime says in the chat, this cannot contradict bylaws. I suspect so. I think the point that David was making was something along the lines of, you know, as below or the then current version of the bylaws. We'll see how that pans out.
Yeah, cool. Thank you, Julie. That's great. Okay. David, as I understand it, you're happy with that. And it looks like we have dealt with this point. That means we can scroll down. And the thing is still moving for me, so that's great. So we're now at section 4.6, the preparation of the proposed GNSO input. This is, of course, what actually comes out of the GIP, the I there being input. So we can scroll through here. As I recall, we only made, I made some typographical changes somewhere in here, but nothing really detailed. Yeah, nothing terribly serious. Excellent. All right, that takes 4.7. Okay, 4.7, I don't think we had very much at all, and Steve had a few typographical changes somewhere along the way as well. So preparation of the input, which deviates from the traditional GIP, council deliberations, transmission of the outcome of the GIP within 24 hours. We clarified there that it was the EC representative and the termination or suspension of a GIP prior to final report. We referred that back to the actual GIP. That takes us all the way through this document. Now, Julie, you just highlighted encouraged. Why have we done that?
That was me, Heather, and I asked whether encouraged is the right word or is it required. Is it only encouraged in the bylaws Annex 3?
So it actually, Annex 3, Steve, refers to the GNSO operating procedures. And as I'm aware, that's the language there.
Okay.
I don't think that the council is required under the GIP, which forms Annex 3, and that Julie's confirmed. That's the language from the GIP.
Thank you.
There you go. You're very welcome. Move your cursor, Steve, so we can tell. Are you anonymous shark or are you anonymous squirrel?
I am anonymous tiger.
Oh, even better. Cool. All right, Steve. Good stuff. All right. So there we are. That takes us all the way through this document. So we've been through this several times. This was just a point of cleanup and where are we and are we all happy with this? Anyone see anything glaring at this stage? No, blissful silence. Excellent. Can I suggest then, Julie and Ariel, could you do us a favor, please, and produce a clean version of this one for us? We can add it to our package. I think at the very end of our work, we'll want to just make a pass through everything to make sure that everything hangs together and that we haven't missed any sort of typographical errors. I wouldn't expect at that point to be any substantive major anything, but I think we can probably move this one off of our plate. Now, this one will, of course, factor into the next discussion we're about to have, which is the GNSO coordination. That said, this is the internal point. Yeah, I agree, David. That's great. So this is a pretty big chunk of work, everyone, and that's great to get this done. So Julie, thanks very much for noting the action item there. And Julie, may I turn it then to you, if you're willing, to give us a bit of an update on where we are with this second part of the 1812 piece.
Yeah, sure. Happy to, Heather. This is Julie Headland from staff. So this section is conceived to follow the last section that we just looked at, section 4. It has been provided to the CCNSO GRC, and last week, Monday, staff walked through the document for a GRC call. And the sense was that they would be able to start reviewing the document while this drafting team also is reviewing it. We had sent it around as part of the homework for this call. I see that Steve Del Bianco is working away in it right now. Wolf Ulrich had a few minor edits, as did Tatiana. I think, and David, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that you were going to help to liaise with the GRC as far as changes that they are suggesting to the document, so we can sort of jointly combine edits as we run through it. And sorry to put you on the spot.
Julie, hi, it's David speaking. No problem. Yes, I did volunteer to do that, and you correctly described the call that we had last week. And I have been through this document, and I have not made any suggestions yet in it that show up. I did put some in there, but I struggle so with Google Docs. They don't show up when I go back in. I'm doing something wrong with Google Docs. But in any event, I can mention some of them on the phone. But the long and the short of it is, I haven't really done much with the GRC, the CCNSO Guidelines Review Committee, since the last call, because I've just now basically finished with what I was doing with the document. I do think, coming away from that meeting, though, that it is almost inevitable that to finish something like this, that we'll have to have one more, not necessarily long, but one more joint meeting with CCNSO Guidelines Review people. It would be a meeting that I think we should have some formal preparation and formal agenda, and I'd be happy to help on both. And I think we need to come out of that at least agreeing certain principles and the direction that we're going. I think that would be very helpful to finishing something like this, and I think Katrina would be open to that. But anyway, that's my statement about what you asked, Julie. Thanks.
Thanks so much, David. That was really helpful. So, Heather, how would you like me to proceed at this point? Would you like me to start running through the document and to the edits that we have thus far?
Julie, before we do that, let's just make a quick point. So one of the things that we built into the revised work plan is we really don't have anything else on our plate until next month. My thinking was that we could use the opportunity of Marrakesh potentially or something after Marrakesh as an opportunity to liaise with the CCNSO. Does that, David, I mean, I know trying to cram things into a face-to-face meeting isn't optimal, but do you think we could do that meeting with the GRC? Do we need to have that, let's say, at the next GRC meeting? Should we be setting up a separate meeting? If so, I think maybe we want to try and schedule that before everyone starts to get into travel crazy mode. So over to you, David.
I think it probably would be a shorter separate meeting than a GRC meeting. I have to say that I, with regret, I won't be present in Marrakesh, even though I go to most ICANN meetings. I won't be at this one, but I certainly will be available by remote participation. If something does take place in Marrakesh, that shouldn't be a problem. But I need to take it up with Katrina, and I haven't done that yet, Heather. Sorry about that. But I suspect it would be better done separately, or if the GRC could put it on a typical GRC meeting agenda, which now won't be until after Marrakesh agenda, you know, as the first half hour block or something like that. I think they'd be willing to do that. But let me check with Katrina and get back to you and Julie, and we'll try and sort out what makes sense.
That's great, David. Thank you. And I think you're right to think I'm always so over ambitious with trying to do things in a face-to-face meeting. I think let's, you know, do this at a time that's convenient for everyone when everyone gets back. But we didn't put it into the formal work plan. So this is really our last call, our only call for the month of June for this group, for our drafting team, with the thinking that, you know, if we needed to coordinate with CCNSO, we'd do it outside of our formal schedule. So I'm more than happy to help in any way that I can, David, so you don't feel like you're, you know, the sole contact point here. So, you know, I'll leave it to you to decide how best to proceed with catching up with Katrina, and we'll go from there. So that's super helpful. Thanks, David. Okay, Julie, would you like to run through this? Would you like me to run through this? What's easiest for you?
It's probably easiest for me to run through it, just because it's easier for me to scroll without trying to, you know, guess necessarily where you are, if that's okay with you.
For sure, Julie. Knock yourself out.
So I thought, let me ask then this next question. We did already talk through this on the last call. So I'm wondering if it might be helpful to go to where the edits are, but I see David has his hand up.
Thanks, Julie. The only reason I put my hand up is I saw you scrolling past page one, and I had some edits to suggest at the bottom of page one. So, and the document I'm using is the one that was online like an hour or two ago, well, about 3 or 4 or 5 hours ago. And so there's a paragraph at the bottom of page one that begins, "The following are guidelines for the joint GNSO-CCNSO consultation." That paragraph, yeah. And it goes on to say on whether to initiate a special IFR, assuming that either 18.12AI or double I has occurred. I think that both have to occur, don't they? And so I thought it should say, assuming that both 18.12AI and double I have occurred, unless I've read the bylaws wrong, but I think it's both of them.
Thank you, David. And actually, the bylaws are a little bit unclear because they list the two items as though they're two separate things. If one happens, that triggers. If both happens, that triggers. If either one happens, that triggers. It's not clear that both have to happen, at least not my reading of it.
Well, let me push back just a little bit, Julie. The introductory paragraph A before the various I's appear says following the satisfaction of each of the following conditions.
Right. And then between three and four, there's an and, David. You're right. I mean, ultimately, the bylaws require all four.
Thank you, David. Yes, I think it was each that I was interpreting differently, but I think you're right.
And anyway, that's the only page. That's the only suggestion I had on page one. Thanks.
Thanks.
Great catch.
Yeah, thanks. And I've changed both instead of either, and we've changed and to and instead of or.
And I would change the verb has to have.
She did.
Okay. I'm sorry. I missed it. Thanks.
Someone did. Ariel's in there too, making edits. So then on to 5.2. And actually, Steve, you have several edits in here. Did you want to speak to them?
They're just completely arranging for responsibility. Rather than saying that something shall happen, let's say who shall be responsible to arrange it. We've been doing that all along. Let's keep it up.
Perfect. That's great. Very, very helpful. And I see a comment at the bottom of 5.3 from Wolf Ulrich. And there's a minor typo corrected by Tatiana. Through the SICT. I think Wolf Ulrich, did you want to speak to that? I think I understand what you mean there.
Yes, overall speaking, thanks, Julie. I was just thinking, so when I was reading that paragraph, that, you know, that is all the outcome of the SICT, which is going to, which comes out here and which should be conveyed then to the CCNSO, isn't it? To the websites of the GNSO and CCNSO. So the question was just who is going to do that. It shouldn't be the council, or isn't it? In addition to that, so I understood it should be done through the SICT. That was my understanding here.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich, and I see David. You have your hand up as well.
I have a comment after Wolf Oryx has done, and it was just before that section. So if we're done with that, then we can move on, or I'm happy to wait.
I think I understand what Wolf Oryx is suggesting there, and staff can edit accordingly. Please go ahead, David.
Okay. So then in the two paragraphs just before that joint release, a statement that that you all were just talking about, there is, in both of those paragraphs, there's a sentence that says, the input also shall be posted to the GNSO website and wiki. And then the next paragraph says the same thing to the CCNSO website and wiki. And this is with respect to the input that's received. So here's my question. The input is going to be about a PTI service complaint of some significance. And the input will include, especially on the CCNSO side, from TLD managers and operators. Some of them, in order to give meaningful input, may request confidentiality. So would it be, should we consider saying something in here subject to confidence? We'll come up with some language that would recognize that. If we tell folks that we need your input and then we're going to go post it on our wiki, we'll get different results. So that's my question. Thanks.
Thank you, David. That's a really good point, and I definitely had not occurred to me. But I've made a comment to capture that, and I see that Errol is in there. Steve, I think, is in there. That's Steve, the anonymous iguana, who's putting in some comments along those lines.
Just for you, just to help you out, subject to redaction requested by input provider. Something like that. Is that what you're getting at, David?
Exactly. Thanks, Steve.
And Heather, you have your hand up, and I don't mean to be pretending to run the show here, so please take over anytime. Sorry.
Don't be silly. No, Julie, don't be silly. You're doing a great job. Here's my question. So this is one of these, I think we've gotten into this situation a few times with these guidelines of trying to imagine exactly what happens. And I think David's point has provoked in my mind a pretty interesting question. What do we think that this outcome of the GNSO, of the JIP is going to be? What do we think that the council is actually going to produce here? And do we think that that will have confidential material in it? I certainly don't, I have no concerns at all about making a statement to the effect of, you know, where necessary, redact for confidentiality reasons, you know, as a insurance policy, if you like. But I just wonder, David, you maybe have thought this through much more than I have. What do you think that the council is actually going to be saying here?
Thanks, Heather. David speaking. I have not thought that through, but now that now that the question's on the floor, if I were a member of the council, I would be one of those arguing along the following lines, especially in light of the fact that the input we get from SOs and ACs and everybody else is posted on the website and wiki. I would go along the lines of saying, you know, we've been thinking about a special IFR, we've deliberated, we've considered all the material stuff, you know, you can go see what's there, and we've decided to request a special IFR. Would be short, simple, and non-argumentative, non-substantive. It would point to other sources of information.
Yeah, thanks, David. That's what I sort of had in mind myself, sort of putting myself in the position I was in 6 months ago. And to that effect, again, I have zero problem with putting in a disclaimer there to say if there is confidential material, then we need to redact it. I don't suspect we're going to need that provision. But yeah, that was just what crossed my mind as we did this. And Julie, you've got your hand up, and then Julie, I'm happy for you to take over from there. Thanks.
Thanks, Heather. And I think maybe I'm misunderstanding, but I think this is earlier on in the process than maybe what I'm hearing you describe, you and David, because this is just where the point where the GNSO has gone through its input process for a special IFR, and the CCNSO has done the same, their internal processes. And they, based on their internal processes, they've decided to initiate a joint consultation. So the consultation process as to whether or not to initiate the special IFR. So when staff wrote this, we were thinking that there probably wouldn't be a lot of information provided at this point, because it's really just the fact that both have agreed internally to consult as opposed to initiate. But I see, Heather, that you're saying that that is what you were saying, so I apologize for that. But just thought I'd make that clear. And I have Steve and then David.
In order to convince, let's say GNSO was leading it, in order to convince CCNSO to enter this consultations, do you think it would be necessary to present to them the kind of evidence that shows we really have a serious problem? It's serious enough that we want to do a special review and not wait a year to do the regular review of IFR. This is a serious problem. There's a performance issue. And if I disclose that issue in sufficient detail to alarm the CCNSO, am I going to, at the same time, expose a vulnerability that could be exploited by somebody with bad intentions? So I'm thinking creatively that if there is anything in the rhetoric I will use to scare the CCNSO into actually having a consultation, could that be something we would prefer to be redacted from a public website? Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. I'll just refer to Heather's comment, which is one I was also going to make. So the output of the GIP is the GNSO's input to the CCNSO as to whether or not the GNSO has decided to initiate a special IFR. So are you suggesting then that maybe some of what is in that output of the GIP or outcome of the GIP might end up needing to be redacted?
I'm just thinking, I was giving you a hypothetical situation which is entirely plausible. However, if it's in the GIP that the redaction would occur, then we don't need the redaction in these two paragraphs on page 2, since it's the underlying GIP that would have been subject to the redaction. Is that your point?
I guess that's the other question, is whether or not we need that confidentiality information, that language in section 4 of these procedures, where we have the outcome of the GIP, but we don't mention that there could possibly be information in there that we might not want to make public. But let me pause there, because David's had his hand up too, and maybe he'll be speaking to the same issue. Thank you. David, please.
Thank you. It's David speaking. I found the comments that you and Steve were just making to be quite helpful. My only point would be that, I think Steve brings up a good point about exposing vulnerabilities. If that could happen, I think certainly we would want to protect against that. But it's more than just that. For instance, if IANA finds out that the driving force behind the special IFR is perhaps a problem, maybe even a major problem, but once the problem's described, they'll know exactly who the complainant is or complainants are. Those people may be reluctant to speak about it because they just don't want to get themselves crosswise with IANA. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But I'll note that under 5.6 of this document, and when I answered the question before about a plain and simple statement that Heather was asking me about, I was speaking about the council. But there's also a statement that comes out from this SICT, and it will review input from GNSO, CCNSO, and from SOs and ACs. And in the paragraph just before 5.6, it's possible that the SICT will even recommend a public comment period. I can't imagine that, but they could. And if they do, that public comment period would be on their draft joint recommendation. And so I think there's a need for enough flexibility to provide for confidentiality if it's absolutely needed. Maxim raised a good point in chat. You know, we want to be also transparent. We don't want to have blanket confidentiality. But there should be a happy medium. And so I guess my point is this document should allow for it where it's absolutely necessary or something like that. Thanks.
Thanks, David. That's really helpful. This is Julie Hedlund again for the transcript. That seems clear to me, at least, and I've tried to capture that sentiment in a comment in the document. We'll pick that up in the notes as well. Does that answer the concern or the issue you were raising as well, Steve?
Julie, I put the text in brackets to accommodate what David was saying, since David doesn't have access to the current Google Doc. Just trying to help him out. If you're convinced that we have adequate means to guard against the confidentiality in the previous stage of the GIP doc, then I have no desire to add another confidentiality qualifier on page 2.
Thank you. I think that's really helpful, and I'll make sure to work with David to make sure that he can get his edits in, either in this or I can create it as a word for him. But let's go ahead and move on. I think we've tried to capture that pretty well. So we have section 5.4, the consultation with supporting organizations and advisory committees. I'm not seeing any edits there until we get to the top of page 3. And that looks like a sensible edit, also by Steve. Looking at section 5.5, deciding whether to request a public comment period, also no edits there. And that really just follows on from what the bylaws say in 1812A4. And then there's developing the joint recommendation. I'm not seeing any edits there. David, you have a comment on 5.7, but I also hear Steve's two hands up. Steve, please.
Yeah, I appreciate moving quickly, but at the beginning we say the SICT shall decide whether to recommend, and later in the paragraph, recommend turns into request, and by the last sentence of that paragraph, it shall happen. So we go from recommending to making it a request by saying that it shall happen. So all along, it's really not a recommendation, it's or a request. It's about whether they want to conduct a public comment period.
Yeah, and I'll have to actually look at, thank you for that, Steve. There is actually a process whereby groups do have to request that public comment periods are open of ICANN.org. It's not that an organization can just simply open one. So I think that, yes, the language in the bylaws is how the notes is request, and we should be consistent with that. It should be request instead of recommend, and request throughout.
Well, and then right here, subject to, I'm doing it in brackets so you can decide what to do with it, but subject to whose approval of the request is my question for you right there.
Thanks. And I'll look at the there is actually a process language. It's ICANN.org.
Okay.
Really.
Thank you.
But I'll make sure I get the correct language in there. That's a really good point. And I also see David. You have your hand up, please.
Thanks. I can make this quickly. In 5.7, we talk at the bottom of page 3 of of the supermajority of the CCNSO council, and then a GNSO supermajority. And I know that has to be council. I think we've all agreed that has to be council. I would suggest we say a GNSO council supermajority. The language in the bylaws in A is confusing because it uses GNSO supermajority, but then the language in 18.12D sort of makes it clear that they're talking about council. I think I just find GNSO supermajority a confusing term, but it is what the bylaws say in certain respects.
You know, David, this is Steve. The previous bylaws drafting team was one I chaired, and we desired to take advantage of the word GNSO supermajority and have it be a supermajority of just the GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies. We lost that battle, and the thing is in council's hands pursuant to the procedures. So you're right to say that it should always say council, since there isn't allowed to be a GNSO supermajority that isn't measured by council.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, and thanks for that, David and Steve. This is actually pulled from 1812A4 of the bylaws, and it is an unfortunate consequence that the bylaws, and we had raised this with legal, and that the bylaws often say GNSO when they mean GNSO council. Since we're not actually quoting the bylaws here, I think it's clear for us to say GNSO Council. Okay, and all right, D, yes. And then they do say further, if you look at D, GNSO Council. Thank you for that, David, in the chat.
Yeah, it's not just okay. It's probably to be consistent with other parts of our procedures that we did in the last drafting team.
Correct.
Right? So right there on page 4, another council.
Yes, absolutely. I think we're going to have to do a search and replace for those instances. Actually, that's the end of the document.
Julie, it's Heather. Real quick, just to pick up the point that that you've just made and the change that you've just made there, the GNSO Council supermajority. Am I right in thinking, and Steve, you might be the quickest one to be able to correct me, don't the bylaws use that term? Should we be saying, should we be using the bylaws term and then having a parenthetical to say I'm meaning GNSO Council supermajority?
Heather, if I might, I think you can leave the bylaws alone. We're not going to change the bylaws, but when you were chair of council, you presided over the debate that for purposes of the GNSO procedures regarding the EC, we are treating GNSO supermajority within our procedures as a council supermajority. That is
no,
why,
I understand. Yeah, yeah, I get that.
That's why I think
that.
It's okay to do it just in these procedures and not reach back in and change the bylaws.
Fine. No, that's fine. I very painfully remember that process. And it's more a case of, like, I'm just going back to my earlier comment, and I'm trying not to be too cafeteria style about, you know, we quote from the bylaws when it chooses us, but we don't quote from the bylaws when we don't like what they say. I mean, as I understand it, the bylaws term is GNSO supermajority, but if we want to use council here, as long as we know what we're doing, again, this isn't the bylaws, nor is it. Yeah. Yeah. So that's fine. I just wanted to make the point. Yeah. And I completely appreciate your pain, Steve. I completely appreciate your pain.
And I see, David, you have your hand up, and then I have my hand up. Julie had something to say.
Thanks. Thanks, Julie. It's David again. I want to speak just quickly to the concern Heather had, and also to you, Julie, to help you when you talk to legal. I think this argument has some weight. And so I would point to the bylaw 18.12C, C subsection I, and it says, it's very short. I'll paraphrase in a sense. It says a recommendation for a special IFR shall only become effective if each of the following occurs. One, the special IFR recommendation has been approved by a vote of the supermajority of the CCNSO Council and a GNSO supermajority. So that's the term it uses in C. Then if you go to D, D says if the board rejects a special IFR recommendation that was approved by the CCNSO Council and GNSO Council pursuant to 18.12C1. And that's the section I just read. So in interpreting C1, which uses the term GNSO supermajority, the bylaws themselves in section D say GNSO Council. Thank you.
Thank you very much, David. And I see that I'm not a host, so I can actually raise my hand. So I just raised my hand. I will note that elsewhere, the part at the top of page 4 here that staff that didn't actually quote, but is actually taken from the bylaws, is it originally read GNSO supermajority, comma, 2/3 of the council members. So it was really still meant to refer to council. There are discrepancies in the bylaws as far as how that is referenced.
Julie, it's Heather, and I have to say Ariel's prompted me on this point. So A refers to the CCNSO. We can't be referring to a GNSO council supermajority in A because it's not about the GNSO. Ariel gets all the credit for that one.
Yes, and you're absolutely right. It goes on to read supermajority of the council members. B is just says GNSO council. I actually corrected the wrong thing. That was me. But what it does say is it says GNSO supermajority, which is the point that Steve brought up.
It's B where we're making any edits here. If we're making edits, it's in B.
Absolutely. B.
Yeah. Good. Thanks, Ariel. Good work.
Bravo. That's because I can't talk and think at the same time. Heather, over to you. We're at the end of the document.
Cool. All right. Here's what I suggest that we do. First of all, we owe tremendous thanks to Julie and Ariel for doing a fabulous job of keeping us on track here. Great to see so many edits in these documents. That suggests that we're all fiddling and tinkering with them, and I think that's a good thing. What I suggest we do here is we have the rest of the month to sort out our 1812 stuff. What I suggest that means then is if Julie and Ariel, you could record an action item. If you're willing to clean this one up for us as well, I think that would be I'm thinking while I'm so here talking about multitasking, right? I wonder if it would be helpful. David, question for you. Would it be helpful to show this to the CCNSO with our comments in it so that they know what our thinking is? Or would it be helpful to show this to them as the next version, as a clean version? And Julie's got her hand up too. Julie, old hand or new hand, but I'll turn to David first.
I think either way. I think I'll try and send to Katrina tomorrow. I'll try and send her the thing showing comments, and she can, you know, and she can make that call. She's very, very good about stuff like that.
Great. Thanks, David. I'm inclined to say send it with comments, if only because they've seen a previous version of this document. So that tells them, you know, A, that we're active in it, B, that we've had some thoughtful discussions around these things and done a bit of cleanup. And is there anyone in the CCNSO is keenly interested? I mean, I assume Katrina is, I know, and I know Bart is from the staff side. Is this something that David, are the GRC really keen on this? Like, I very much appreciate your earlier point that there's not anything in here that they're really, you know, concerned by, but is there anyone that's really keenly interested in this?
I know that, as you said, Katrina and Bart, Stephen Deerhake, I feel certainly will be. I am, and I think it's a small team. I wouldn't be surprised if everybody on the team is, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's good. And not surprising, Stephen's interested given his role in the EC admin. So, all right, so that Julie's offering in the chat, we can capture it as a Word document. I think that's helpful, Julie, that it goes as a Word document. Because not everyone, you know, agrees with Google Docs and gets on well with Google Docs. So I think that's probably the way to go. So if we record that as an action item, we will circulate this to the CCNSO. We'll get their view on how they think this is progressing. And I think what we will do, and David, I'm really mindful here that I don't want to saddle you with, as it is, you have, you know, the burden of being a member of each of these communities. And I don't want you to have an additional burden of having to be the liaison between the two for all things. But if we could be guided by you on how to do this next call with the GRC or a subset of the GRC or whatever it is, that's great, David. I appreciate your willingness there. Yeah. Super. All right. So we'll be guided by you. I would suggest if we want to put a call in, I would like to think that we do that as in put it into the diary. Let's schedule it before we get too close to Marrakesh so that we can safely go off to Marrakesh, come home, those of us that are going and coming back, and then have that already in the diary. I know that, you know, immediately when you get home, things are a bit confusing. So if Julie and Ariel, if you can help us just to stay on track with that, if it gets too close to Marrakesh and we haven't put that into the diary, if you can ping me, I would be grateful, and that way we don't pester David too much. Okay,
Fantastic. Well, we've made huge progress here. Thanks very much, Julie. Any comments, questions, concerns before we sign off for today? No. Great. All right. We're going to finish up 1812. After Marrakesh, you will hear from me and or Julie and Ariel in relation to the next tranche of work that we have coming up. You'll notice in that draft, I suspect Julie and Ariel will send around the version that we've all seen once before, that they circulated once before, which has lots of comments in it from me. I think the next one on our plate is pretty uncontroversial. The one after that is probably much bigger. So hopefully we start off in July with a not too difficult task before we move back into something a bit like this. Thanks very much, Steve, and David, and who else is on here? Juan Manuel and Maxime and Wolf Orrick. Fantastic to have all of you. Have a safe travel to Marrakesh, if that is indeed where you're going. David, we'll miss you. I'm sorry you won't be there. Julie, Ariel, anything from your side before we sign off? Anonymous Chinchilla, anything from your side? Nothing from Julie. Excellent. All right, everyone. Thanks very much. Have a lovely rest of your day. Talk soon. Bye now.
Thanks so much, Heather. Thanks, everyone. And thanks. Have a good day. Really appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, all. Thank you.